Well, buckle your seatbelts. I'm going to try to summarize 7 years of work in about 12 minutes, maybe 15. All right, so hang on here. Let's get this thing going down. Most of you are familiar with the turf grass Seashore paspalum. It's a relatively new warm season turf grass that's broadly adapted to tropical and subtropical regions around the world. Its real claim to fame is its salt tolerance. For that reason, it's been used predominantly by golf courses around the world in areas that are salt-affected sites or with coastal venues or that are forced to use affluent water for irrigation. It has a number of excellent turf traits that make it a very acceptable turf grass under good management. It's also tolerant of low light conditions and wet soils, which are typical of monsoon seasons, and therefore it's been used pretty widely in the in Southeast Asia. One of the biggest complaints we get about this species is our lack of ability to control Bermuda grass. This is a worldwide problem since the region it's adapted to is also very well, Bermuda grass is very common in all these areas. Weed scientists have worked for decades at the University of Georgia trying to identify a herbicide system that would allow for selective removal of Bermuda grass from Seashore paspalum, but have failed to produce a really viable option. Our solution to the breeding program was to try to develop a herbicide-resistant systems whereby we would actually increase the crop tolerance of paspalum to herbicides that might be useful for controlling weedy grasses. Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is why not use Roundup? Why not go the GM option? For this species, we thought this probably wasn't a good idea. Because primarily it's a very minor crop and with a few number of cultivars. It's very international also, and so the cost of registration and difficulty of moving GM product internationally would be very problematic for us. So instead we chose to move down the path of developing a non-GM herbicide resistant system which would utilize naturally occurring mutations. Similar systems are available in crops such as the Clearfield wheat system, been out and successful for quite a long time now. The class of chemistry that we chose to target were the ACCase inhibiting herbicides. These are grass-specific herbicides and do have potential to control or at least manage many of the problematic grasses we have in Seashore paspalum. Another advantage of using this chemistry is that we already knew that there were a number of mutations that had arisen after decades of use of this chemistry, independently in different weedy grasses and in different continents around the world. So we felt we had a potential for developing resistance. When this resistance was characterized molecularly, as many as 7 different site of action mutations have been identified in the literature that confer resistance to one or more of these ACCase herbicides. One of the most common ones is what we know is 1781 leucine, which is it occurs at amino acid position 1781 on the ACCase enzyme. It's believed to be part of the actually active binding site where the herbicide actually binds to the enzyme. A single base pair substitution from A to T results in a highly resistant line to cethoxanim in this case. So now we've got a target class of chemistry. We know that there's a mutation within that type of chemistry that occurs commonly in grasses that confers a high level of resistance. All we really needed was an effective and efficient system to fish out a mutant line in Seashore paspalum. This is Mr. Doug Heckert, now Dr. Doug Heckert, who was a master student at the time that took on this project. He may have been a bit naive. And he developed a tissue culture approach to select for resistance. Essentially, we laced callus media with the herbicide cethoxanim, and then grew out, looked for callus that would actually grow and wasn't suppressed by the herbicide. I don't know if you can you use the arrow here. Can't use the arrows, can you? He was able to generate about 60 different cell lines or calli that were that showed resistance, and of that, he was able to regenerate two of those lines back into viable plants. When we did the DNA sequencing, we found the presence of a second peak at the first position of 1781, indicating the mutation, presence of the mutation both in the callus, and then later that was confirmed in leaf tissue generated from plants. The dose response experiment for this material looked like this. The top row is Monarchy, the parental material. The second row, or middle row, is tissue culture control that's susceptible. And the lower row is the mutant line, which we denoted as SR11. This line expressed resistance in this study up to 16 times the normal dose rate for this herbicide. Now, we thought we were finished, but we were wrong. We weren't finished. We were really just getting started because all this, we generated over 2,000 plants from this material, and most of those plants had a number of additional mutations that were we attributed to the time that it spent in tissue culture. Most of the lines had very poor fitness, and were almost all the lines were completely sterile. After years of working different approaches, different efforts, we finally identified a line that we called SR3115 that would at least attempt to flower. We felt it was probably female fertile and male sterile. We resorted to hand pollinations with CL1 as the pollen source, and then used embryo rescue to and were able to generate 17 lines, six of which tested to be positive for herbicide resistance through DNA screening and through dose response experiments. These were heterozygotes. So finally, we now had plant material, and I was anxious to get this material in the field to see if this system was really going to work at the field level. We put it under the test by fire. What we did was designed a split plot designed experiment, had three replications. The main plots were seven different herbicide treatments. The subplots were 10 different Paspalum genotypes. Plot area was a field of common Bermuda grass that I obtained from my weed scientist buddy. We killed, which you don't kill Bermuda grass with one application of Roundup, but we burned down the area about 4 weeks prior, and then essentially no-tilled Paspalum plugs into this burned down Bermuda grass field. We applied our herbicide treatments at monthly intervals during the growing season, and then what I'll be presenting today is just the coverage ratings for Paspalum and Bermuda grass from this experiment. The herbicide treatments that we used were the control where we applied no herbicide. We also used three different herbicides that are ACCase inhibiting herbicides that are registered for use on turf grass sites, namely clethodim, phenoxaprop, and cethoxidim, which is the herbicide that we selected the resistance using. The 1X rate represents the high recommended rate for these herbicides for turf grass sites, and the 3X rate is three times that. The genotypes used were the six lines that we recovered through embryo rescue, which are now appear to be vigorous and fully fertile. The susceptible types included Monarchy, which was a parental line, as well as some other lines, Sea Spray, the seeded variety, 1743, which was an experimental line that had shown some resistance to or some tolerance to ACCA herbicides, and SRSSPRY3, which was a line derived by Trent Tate when he was a master student there, that showed increased metabolism of ACCA herbicides. In 2014, we made four separate applications of these herbicide treatments, and in 2015, we made an additional five applications. We collected ratings about 1 month after application, just before the next application of herbicide treatments would occur. The data that I'm going to show you today is from October 6, 2015 ratings. The ANOVAs on this data show very highly significant responses to both Paspalum coverage as well as Bermuda grass coverage for all treatment factors. This first slide, I want to just consider this slide an indication of crop tolerance, if you will. So phenoxyprop designated FP and cethoxidine designated SD shows that the resistant genotypes do have adequate crop tolerance to tolerate repeated applications of even high rates of these herbicides. Clethodim, on the other hand, we did not have adequate crop tolerance to consider it for use in this kind of system. So I've excluded it from further consideration in our discussion. Now, if we look at which herbicides were most effective in controlling Bermuda grass, let's first look at the control plots. These are paspalum plots in which no herbicides were applied. We're essentially 98% or 95% of Bermuda grass at the end of 15 months, and only a few percent of paspalum could be seen. Phenoxyprop and cethoxidine both were effective at dramatically reducing Bermuda grass coverage, but certainly the high rates were necessary to achieve almost complete control. If we look at genotypic responses of the 10 lines we tested, all five of the six cethoxidine-resistant lines that we tested seemed to have adequate vigor and herbicide tolerance to be considered to be usable. When we tested against phenoxyprop, and we saw the same type of pattern when we tested it against cethoxidine at both 1 and 3X rates. This slide, I'd like to kind of summarize the test. The first image you see there on the left is the strip plot or the main plot from a cethoxidine 3X treatment and showing the susceptible controls. And after 15 months, no Bermuda grass, but we've hammered the heck out of it with cethoxidine, but we still have paspalum growing in. The bar graphs on the left look at the controls where we planted my favorite line in this test, which was SR31-15-15, and here in the control plot, we've got 93% Bermuda grass and only 7% paspalum after 15 months if we apply no herbicides. If we use the herbicide-resistant system, you see it with the other four bars there, that we do, we are able to, if not totally eliminate, virtually eliminate Bermuda grass from these trials. So in conclusion, we have developed a non-GM herbicide-resistant system for seashore paspalum that will enable us to at least manage some problematic weedy grasses. Genotypes that we tested and have in our breeding program now are tolerant to 3X recommended rates for both phenoxyprop and cethoxidine. We've determined from this this test that clethodim is not safe for use with this germplasm, and we know that repeated applications of phenoxyprop at 1 and 3X rates were highly effective at controlling Bermuda grass, but that's repeated applications. Cethoxidine, it really takes a 3X rate to get adequate control. And paspalum, we were able to identify a couple of paspalum genotypes from this study that we'll be using in future efforts to develop new herbicide-tolerant cultivars, both vegetative and seeded. With that, I'd like to thank my collaborators and contributors, Doug Eckert, the graduate student that produced this initial novel material. He did it in Dr. Wayne Parrott's lab, my colleague at Athens. Zinbang Chen is a molecular biologist that I work with at the Griffin campus. Trent Tate, former graduate student, developed some of this material and worked on this project. Lawayne, Rodney, and Pat are part of my staff at Griffin. Thank Tim Murphy and Patrick McCullough for their contributions and counsel on this study. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The all lines have the 1781 mutation that's in the field.
The six lines do.
Six lines.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah, the one that was lower performing, it was less vigorous. All right. So that's the thing that I like about doing a field evaluation that you miss in greenhouse or dust response experiments, is you don't really get that combination of vigor and herbicide tolerance together that competition factor with the weed that you're trying to manage. Yes?
Did you say that the ones you recovered are heterozygous, or do...
All these lines are heterozygous. We now have produced homozygous lines, and we don't notice any big difference. I haven't done proper dose response experiments to confirm that, but the heterozygotes have adequate adequate herbicide tolerance.
So phloem is an inbred crop, or how is it?
It's an outcrossing crop. It's an obligate outcrosser.
So how did you get the homozygotes?
We crossed two of those lines.
Sister.
Yeah, sister lines. We'll cross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes?
One more question, Paul. Can you comment on the difference between two herbicides you saw that were effective, Noxaprox and Cetoxin? Why do you think Noxaprox is more effective?
At Bermuda grass?
With control.
I think it's a little hotter on Bermuda grass. I do.
At
the rates we tested at, yeah. Yes. Yes.
How does the turf quality of these lines compare with previous releases from University of Georgia, like CL Supreme, CL 2000? Or is that, now that you have the resistance, is that kind of where you're going?
Actually, these lines are finer texture and denser, and that could be problematic in that they may not be as stoloniferous. They may not spread as quickly. So we're trying to cross this into as much material as we can to get a better look. But the material looks great. It looks like a great turf grass. It's very fine texture, very dense, and very upright in growth habit. So there may be a problem with how quickly it spreads. Any other questions?
Well, if not, let's